The latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 13th of January, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Coming up in the news, C.J. Miller joins me. We'll have what's projected to be another challenging year for corn and soybean profitability for farmers. And we have good news about an averted strike. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is predicting mostly dry weather, but cold temps continue. In corn and bean futures, a nice bump after Friday's USDA update. Brian Basting analysis on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The challenges that farmers are facing to make a profit in 2025 and a possible strike averted. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, if you're a farmer, you know just how tough it's been to turn a profit. It may be even more challenging for farmers to do so here in 2025. Andy Eubank joins us now as he reports from the Purdue Top Farmer Conference on Friday.
The prospects right now do not look very good.
That's Michael Langemeyer, director at the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, which hosts the conference each year. He says the Ag Economy Barometer says it all. For months, it has highlighted high input costs and low commodity prices.
We're living with the high input costs that we've had the last 3 years. It just seemed to stay up there. And so the break-even prices are substantially higher than what they were in 2021 and before that. And so, and along with that, we've got relatively low corn and soybean prices. And so it's a classic case where the earnings are negative, or the economic profit is negative, or the break-even prices is higher than the price. And that's probably going to be that's probably going to continue through at least 25, perhaps into 26.
Purdue's break-even price on high productivity soil in Indiana is $4.90.
Recently redid the budget, and that's much higher than the current corn price, and particularly higher than the fall futures prices for 2025. The soybeans is not any better. The break-even price is about $11.50, which of course is substantially above where current soybean prices are and where the projections are for next fall.
Langemeyer says farmers also had to manage through tight margins in the 2014 through 19 period. The 2024 and 25 period might be worse. So how do you manage through this time period?
First, try to preserve your working capital. Be very cautious in terms of spending that liquidity. We've improved our liquidity, particularly with the high incomes in 21 and 22. Just be very cautious what you spend that on. And that leads me to the second thing. Be very cautious in asset purchases. Farmers usually do that. When incomes are lower, they tend to not buy as much machinery, not build as many buildings, and not be quite as aggressive with their cash rent.
In other words, tighten up and buckle up. I'm Andy Eubank.
Farmers, the Fort Wayne Farm Show celebrates 36 great years at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, January 14th to the 16th. Plan to attend this huge three-day event featuring the area's largest variety of farm equipment and technology. You could win the grand prize, a Toro MyRide zero-turn lawnmower, courtesy of Plevna Implement. Admission is free.
The Fort Wayne Farm Show is this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Open Wednesday night till 8 at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne.
A potential strike has been averted among union workers along the East and Gulf Coast after the Union and the Shippers Alliance reached a tentative agreement for a new labor contract. That agreement offers workers new protections against automated technology replacing jobs That agreement also includes a 62% wage increase for union workers over the next 6 years. Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says the agreement is outstanding news for the ag industry.
Very appreciative that the two sides were able to come together on a full contract, and very appreciative of the fact that there will be no disruption and that we can continue to focus on the business. And as we all know, the business has been growing and has a lot of potential growth in the future.
The union and shippers had agreed to a short-term agreement last October following a 3-day strike by the union. However, that agreement was set to expire January 15th. Another strike could have shut down all major ports from Maine to Texas had a deal not been reached. And that would have cost the U.S. economy hundreds of millions of dollars each day.
With the level of exports on the pork side, 45% of the waterborne exports are going through the East Coast and Gulf, and about 30% of the beef, of which on the beef side, some of the higher value chilled business is going through there. So obviously any snafu in supply chain is a problem, but especially on the East Coast and Gulf as it relates to some of our key pork and beef products.
The agreement still needs to be approved by a majority vote among the union workers before that new contract can officially kick in. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at the setup across the Hoosier State over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Honestly, we are a lot drier than recent weeks. We have one weather system that's going to be trying to come through the state, mostly focusing on the southern third of Indiana. And that's going to be right in the middle of this longer-term extended forecast. Short-term, we've got cold air racing in. That clipper system that passed by yesterday over the Great Lakes and Michigan triggered a lot of cloud cover here. Not a lot of precipitation, but it did usher in Arctic air. And that Arctic air is here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. We're probably seeing the coldest day settle in to be tomorrow, but well below normal temperatures all the way through. Not as cold Thursday, and then Friday we actually see a little bit of a temperature moderation. Don't get too excited. It's not a lot, but a little bit of a temperature moderation. Going into the weekend, though, we've got another weather system, like we said, passing by mostly to the south. Low pressure comes from Arkansas and the Missouri Valley across central and southern Indiana. Rain and or wet snow can be in here, up to about 3 to 4 tenths of liquid equivalent out of that. So I-70 southward is the key area to watch. I don't think we see much up north. But again, this system, less on the precipitation side and more on the cold air side, is going to be a story. Cold air comes racing in overnight Saturday night into Sunday the 19th. We may see a little bit of light snow and flurry action there, and then brutal cold from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. Temperatures may try and ease late in the week, but then we see a resounding move of Arctic air coming back the week after. So we're definitely going to be spending most of the rest of January in this well below normal range on temperatures, with the exception of just that odd moderating temperature day, for example, what we see later this week. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The USDA January report, and it was a bullish one. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Strong gains in corn and beans. We'll have those numbers coming up. First, market analysis to find out what happened in that USDA report. I turn to Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Markets responded to USDA's update at noon Eastern time. And Brian, would you go so far as to say that we saw some fireworks in the marketplace after a very strong move in soybeans? Corn pretty solid as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy. Yeah, that's a good word to use there. I think that we really were shocked by the reduction in the crop size. The USDA told us today they took 3.8 bushels per acre off the national average yield for corn compared to the last survey-based number in November, and they took a bushel off the soybean yield. So really some surprising, I believe they cut the Indiana yield by 11 bushels, the corn yield, from what it was there in November. And some of the other states were down quite a bit, just a shocker from the supply standpoint, and really takes that Indy stocks number now for 24-25, not exceptionally tight. I don't want to paint that picture that we're running out of corn, but much tighter than what the market had been anticipating, and significantly tighter than what we were looking at the beginning of the harvest. So all those factors combined together, Andy, giving us a pretty good rally here, about a 13-14 cent rally in nearby old crop corn futures, and about a 25 cent rally in bean futures, and we'll turn our focus to South America going forward. But market may be digesting these numbers for a little bit here.
Any other numbers in the report that they might be digesting as we move forward?
Not so much. They didn't make any significant changes in South America that I caught here. Obviously, we're in the middle of the growing season down there now, so we want to keep a close eye on Argentina, which is hot and dry as we speak, and they're getting quite a bit of rain in Brazil. Now, up to this point, it's been favorable for the soybean crop there. USDA has still got Brazil penciled in for a record bean harvest, 169 million tons. But at some point, as harvest kicks in here in the second half of January, they definitely want things to dry out. So it'll be something to keep an eye on. But for the time being, I would say there weren't really any earth-shattering numbers in terms of the world numbers here. China imports of beans were unchanged at 109 compared to the December report. That is down from 112 million last year. Something that to remember going forward, that Chinese demand for beans is not forecast to be down a bit this year. But those ending stock numbers are really something in the U.S. here, Andy, that's got the market's attention. We're at 380 now for beans. Now, again, that is not a tight number. It's just tighter than what we were thinking a while back. That's given the market a boost here from these low levels, along with the weather uncertainty, primarily in Argentina at the moment.
And your thoughts about the market reaction on Friday, a little overdone or just a good, solid reaction to a bullish report?
Yeah, more of a knee-jerk trade reaction to a surprise in the supply side. I just remind your listeners, Andy, that really want to take a disciplined approach to this market going forward. We don't know how long this is going to last. There are lessons to be learned from every crop year. But the approach here going forward, I think, is to take a risk management approach, whether you're looking at old crop inventory that you're still holding from your 2024 harvest, or you're looking at starting your 2025 pricing. But price prediction is impossible. We really want to remind your listeners that a risk management approach here is a good way to do it. Manage market positions that you have on, and, defend your balance sheet is what I'd leave that thought at, is that we're getting an unexpected support here, particularly from what we thought last fall when we had these really stout yields for the most part. But let's defend our balance sheet, because it certainly wasn't expected, and we want to let it run if it wants to run in terms of the market. But kind of a long answer to your question there, but I think the bottom line, Andy, is that we still want to defend our balance sheet. We still want to take a disciplined approach. I think going forward, it's going to be a weather market now in South America. How big this crop is in Brazil and how timely that gets harvested in the beans. And then for Argentina, with this hot, dry weather, that's something to really keep a close eye on as we move throughout January and into early February.
Brian Basting with the Market Analysis. Brian is an economist with Advanced Trading, and his number is 309-664-2314. Now more numbers for you. The positive numbers in the corn and bean markets after USDA's report. First, March corn, a gain of 14.5 cents Friday, 470.5. May, 479.5, up 15 cents. July, 14 cents higher, 482. March bean contract goes to 10.25 and a quarter, a gain of 26 and a quarter. May up 27 and a quarter, 10.38. July 10.49 and three quarters, up 26 and a half cents. March wheat 5.30 and three quarters, down 3 and a quarter. Solid in the protein sector. February live cattle 198.77, up $1.17. And February lean hogs 82.55, up 77. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.